Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where today we are comparing a book and a movie.
Do you sound quieter? Do you?
Maybe I was just talking quiet. I'm trying to like not make us so rehearsed in this. So I was kept trying to change it, and I was like, "Is this gonna work?" So I was hesitant, and my voice stepped back and
and stayed back. I know. I hate how rehearsed it sounds.
I know. Me too. So I'm trying to change crazy. It up,
especially when I edit it. I'm like, "Oh my god, you guys, can you figure your life out?"
Like, we either forget our names, like I'm Allie.
Oh, and I'm Bree.
Or we do the same thing over and over. What are you guys going to get each week? You never know.
Knows. No one knows.
Not even us.
Hey, hey, hey.
But anyways, so this week we're doing the story of Caging Skies, which was adapted to Jojo Rabbit.
Well, yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And it's season 4, episode 15. And this comes out on tax day.
Did you get your taxes done?
I have.
Same.
All those out of country are like, ooh, that sucks.
Yeah. I wish I was with you.
I wonder if tax day is the same everywhere. Probably not.
No, I don't think it is. I don't know.
I don't.
Am I acting like I know?
I know nothing about other countries.
I barely know anything about my country.
I know exactly.
I start getting the TurboTax and the HR Block emails about, are you ready to file your taxes? And I'm like, oh, it's tax time.
Oh, gosh. Anyways, you guys. I mean, that's a picture. It's tax day today.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
What a great. No, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe like 3 weeks ago, I updated everyone that I left my job.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I think I should update everyone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That I left my job, and then maybe like a week and a half, 2 weeks later, I got interviews for, it's a part-time job and then volunteer positions, but I am now a part-time assistant technical director at a church. So I'm doing basically what I was doing in Redmond, but for a church. And volunteer stuff, I'm literally going to be video editing and podcast editing and telling other video editors what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 3 different nonprofits.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And Kelsey, I was telling Kelsey about it because Kelsey is who I edit for Lady Preacher podcast. And she's always like my number one cheerleader. She's always like, Brie, I just know you're going to get there someday. It's a hard path to follow, but you're going to get there with how dedicated and how hard of a worker you are, blah, blah, blah. And so I was telling her about it, and she was like, Brie, sometimes you just have to take the leap. Sometimes you take the leap into something that's scary, like leaving your job, even though you had just been unemployed and you needed a job. You took that leap, and now look what's coming from it. And I was like, you're damn right.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
So if you're listening and you're someone who's debating about taking the leap, do it.
Mm-hmm. There's your sign.
Mm-hmm. I just hit my chin with my mic.
All right. Here's our trigger warnings, you guys. This book is strongly World War II. Lots of Nazis. Lots of, like, we follow a Nazi. So.
Mm-hmm. But also, it's basically almost a kidnapping, too. Kind of.
Yeah.
To an extent. in a hostage situation.
Yeah. Okay. We good?
We good.
All right. Here's our synopsis. Johannes, or Jojo, is a boy who is a Hitler youth who is
What's hilarious is I was also just, entranced. And I was like, entranced.
By Hitler when he discovers his parents are hiding a Jewish girl named Ilsa.
Oh, is that how it's pronounced?
That's how the audiobook reader said it.
That makes sense.
Ilsa. I know it's Elsa.
I kept saying Elsa. So when you just said Ilsa, I was like, let it go. Excuse you.
Let it go. What if she just broke out into song? What if she started casting ice powers all over the place?
Then she'd be dumb for hiding for a while.
She could take down Hitler.
Yeah. You got this, girl.
Anyways, okay. Author is Christine Leonis?
I would say Lunens.
Lunens? Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're going to have to say it. Director.
Taika Waititi.
Yes. I love him.
Oh, he's one of my favorites.
Yes, he's so funny. I will
watch anything he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yep. Screenplay writer was also him. I'm not even going to try. You're going to make fun of me. Say it again.
Taika Waititi.
Audiobook reader was Stephen J. Cohen. Sure.
Sure. No, she played me a part of it and it was meh.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a different audiobook that she has to listen to here.
Great.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad. He did great with his German accent.
Yeah.
But it was.
I bet that would have been nice because there was a lot of German. I mean, duh. There was a lot of German in the book. But man, being American reading, not knowing German, I was like, I was the TikTok videos of the people who are reading the fairy tale names and like. Yeah.
All right. Well, the book came out November 1st, 2004. The movie came out November 8th, 2019. That's almost exactly 15 years.
I wonder if Taika did that on purpose.
I don't know, but that is the closest.
That's insane that we've had.
To date. Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
I know, because normally I just have to I just look at the year.
Yeah.
But this one, I actually was like, oh my gosh.
Let me look.
It's legit.
That's so cool.
Okay, so which first?
I saw the movie first.
I read the book first.
After I had told her just like certain aspects.
Yeah, so I go in, I'm like, okay, it's about this little kid who has an imaginary friend, Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Mm-mm. Not at all. Not the book.
Nope.
This is going to be another one of those. Bree's going to tell her story of the movie, and I'm going to tell my story of the book.
But the thing is like a good chunk of the book happens in the movie. Just not how it happens in the book.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a kid found a girl, a Jewish girl.
I mean, that whole part, no. That whole part doesn't happen. But a good,
that whole part does happen. The Hitler kid.
I mean,
kid.
Yeah. I'm talking about the stuff that happens later. Oh, yeah.
No, that part doesn't
with
happen.
With her.
No, that does not happen. Yeah.
We'll get to it, guys. We're trying to spoil our own podcast.
I know. What are your initial thoughts? Would you recommend it?
I wouldn't recommend the book. I would recommend the movie.
Which one did you like the best?
Shit.
Yeah. Same. I don't know. I don't know if I would recommend the movie either. it was bad. It wasn't. But it was not. I don't know. I'm going to have to rethink about it after we go through this. I know I just watched it like 2 days ago. There's your answer. It's not one that like hit me like, oh my gosh, go watch this movie.
Yeah.
But let's go through this and I'll see if it's one.
If it is one where you're like,
was good.
Yeah. Why did we pick it? Honestly, so I watched this. Okay. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm really fascinated with World War II. Not in a weird, like, that just sounds weird, I know. But I like to learn as much as I can about World War II. And so it's like when we would get to this era of history in all my history classes, I would actually pay attention. I wanted to know what was going on. It's just always been something that's fascinated me because I think, how on earth can someone be so evil, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so when I found out that this movie was based in World War II, I was intrigued. And then I knew that Taika was tied to it. And I learned more about it. And then I went to watch it. And what's funny is I didn't connect that this was the movie that Revan had auditioned for. So, guys, my cousin auditioned to be Jojo, which blows my mind. And he was, what is it called? Runner up, basically. He was one of Taika's favorites. And basically, this little kid who is Jojo beat him out just barely. And like, my mind was blown. But the whole time my aunt was telling me about it, she told me that it was like, she told me the basis of it and was like, but I'm not letting Revan really know like what the movie's about because he's young. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, isn't that hard? Because he has to read stuff that's like, you know, not super appropriate. And she's like, yeah, but I've just had to like explain to him, like, it's okay to say it in this context, but right. Don't elsewhere. I'm like, okay. But then I like pushed it out of my mind because I was like, no way is my cousin like auditioning and getting like really close to being the star of right. a movie. And then I went and I was watching it and I think like halfway through, because I think she had known that Scarlett Johansson was going to be the mom. And halfway through, I like it all clicked. I was like, hold on. You're supposed to be Revan right now?
Is this the only thing he's ever auditioned for?
Like movie wise, yeah. He has been in numerous commercials and he was also in some ads on Amazon.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But movie wise, it was this. And then I think it got to a point where, because I think what started it was my aunt would get told that he was a very cute little kid all the time. And, or no, my aunt knew about all, like, Kellan Lutz is from Arizona. And, like, there's a huge group of actors who are from Arizona who got their start in commercial acting. Mm-hmm. And she was like, if I could get my kids in that, I'm gonna do it. And so she tried to get all of her kids into it, but Revan was the only one who took up on it and actually enjoyed it and was like, yeah, let me learn my lines and let me like do this. Mm-hmm. She also realized it was hard because also on top of that, you're then subjecting your kids to the rejection.
Right.
Yeah. So there was a part of her that was torn, but he enjoyed it. And so he did all this stuff and he got paychecks and.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did he get a picture with what's his name?
Not that I'm aware of. I know. I'm like, my aunt kept telling me when they were auditioning, she was like, I really hope he gets this so that we can take you on set and get you on set to be like, hey, I want to do this.
Yeah. How cool is that a bit?
Again, at this point, I'm like, whatever. And now I'm like, I would have loved to have been there.
Aww.
Especially with Taika dressed up as Hitler.
I know.
One of my favorite things that he does is like when he's talking to the kid as Hitler and he's like, hey, man.
I know. In his New Zealand / German accent.
Yep. I love him.
He's so funny.
I love him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I'm even more butthurt a little bit. Like, as the years go by, I'm even more like, gosh darn it, Revan, why couldn't you have been Jojo?
I don't know if you really answered why we chose this.
Oh, no. I just explained my tie to it. So when I watched the movie the first time, I realized it was based on a book. This was way before Offscript was a thing. So then when Offscript was born, that's when I decided, ooh, I want Jojo Rabbit on our list. But I knew this one would probably be a little hard for Allie to take. So I was like, I have to strategically plan this. I also did not anticipate her liking The Accidental Billionaires. So I kind of like, also, you have to realize I went into this thinking this book was going to have an imaginary Hitler in it.
Right.
So I thought it was going to be a comedy-like book. And I was like, okay, so Accidental Billionaires is going to be hard for her, and this one probably will be too, but this one's got comedy in it, and it's like, it's hilarious. And then I was like, originally we had the host coming out next week, and I anticipated with her reaction to Twilight that she would enjoy Stephanie Meyer's book. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, this is kind of an easy, like, let me ease you into a book you'll like. And then did that work? Let's see.
All right, you guys, I got some Allie super fun facts for you guys. Okay. When Taika
Waititi?
Waititi. Okay. He is Jewish.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Maori. He's Maori slash Jewish. Sorry. Don't mean to be disrespectful. I can't read. He was asked about why he chose to play the role of Hitler. He said, the answer's simple. What a better way to say F you to the guy.
I've heard that and I love that so much.
Oh, that was so funny. Like,
it's perfect.
They're like all facts about him. I did not mean to do that.
Honestly, he's the best.
Okay. So Taika described the film as a love letter to his mother and single parents everywhere. It wasn't until I was a grown up and I had kids of my own that I realized, oh, these parent people, they make a lot of sacrifices. It's really hard raising kids. I just thought it was sweet because I'm a single parent, but I didn't get that at all from book or movie.
You didn't get it from the movie?
Not really.
Oh, I got it from the movie.
I mean, yeah, she was raising the kid on her own, but... Mm-hmm.
And doing her best. One of my favorite scenes is the scene where she pretends to be the husband too.
I thought that was the weirdest thing.
Oh.
I was just like, if my parent did that, I'd be like, what is happening right now? Especially if I'm waiting for her to tell me that she's hiding a little Jewish girl up in the
That's
closet.
True. That's
and then
true.
All of a sudden she slaps coal on her face.
Well, no, it's because he said that he wished his dad...
I mean, I know that.
Yeah. And so she's like, fine, you want your dad? Here you go.
I'm going to do that to Riley when she cries for dad.
Do it. No, that would give her nightmares.
Dude, I don't know what would happen. Okay.
But the book, no.
No, though, not at all.
But that's why he described the film as a love letter to his mother.
Sure. Okay. One of Taika's reasons for making the film was realization that after World War II, people cried that we should never forget. But the behavior of certain people in certain parts of the world, it felt like we were forgetting. So he wanted to do it.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And boy, is he on point.
Mm-hmm. Number four, the film is based off the book, as we know. And this book was Taika's mom's, like, one of her favorite books. And then she turned him onto it.
How would you turn your child onto that? Like, obviously he had to be older.
Right.
But that's surprising. I knew it was one of his favorites, and that's why he wrote it.
Get it.
I know. I think my problem is that I went into it expecting imaginary Hitler.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was, because that's what I went in expecting too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Once I realized it wasn't, I mean, and we'll get into it.
Okay. Taika, when asked, said he wanted to recreate a character of Hitler as inaccurate as possible, since, to paraphrase, he was not worth doing accurate research on.
Ooh, that actually, that's amazing. And that basically almost answers why there's a Hitler in the movie at all.
Because he just wanted to basically make fun of him the whole time.
Well, that and because the book... The son loves Hitler and is always praising him, and there's no negative thing about him.
Right.
So this is Taika's way of being like, okay, that's not what we're doing.
Right. That makes sense.
Let's do this.
Okie dokie. So Jojo, our main character, lives in Germany in the 1920s, and he's growing up when his older sister died, and he always remembered her playing violin with her friend, and he had a memory of this pet snail that died. He got squished and he's just so sad. And another memory was he was at a shoe store with his dad. And when they left, people are chanting and agreeing with this man on the podium. And all Jojo wanted to do was go up there and join them because it looked like so much fun. But his dad said no, and they hurried home. And it turns out this man was Hitler, and he's now implementing all these new laws and all these new things in school. And he said the children are their future, and it's their job to teach the parents because the parents didn't get this knowledge when they were in school. And he taught the parent, and Jojo went home and taught his parents all about how we are the perfect race and perfect nation and all this negativity of other people, especially Jewish people. His father kind of just brushes off this information.
Could you imagine your child coming home and spouting that shit?
Dude, seriously. But
backhand him.
As we find out in a second, he ends up getting an argument with Jojo because he doesn't believe in God anymore. And later in the night, Jojo hears his parents talking. His mother's like, you need to stop or he's going to get in trouble at school. Mm-hmm. And dad agreed. He's like, oh my gosh, I know. It's just hard hearing their words come out of his mouth. So that would be the hard part is like, you can't really
say anything. You have to agree with him. Otherwise, he'll go to school and be like, my parents said this.
And then either you're going to get killed or he's going to get killed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what a
shit show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sucks.
I couldn't even.
No.
Could not even.
I would just cry. I would just go to bed every night and cry because you can't teach your kids right.
You can't teach your kids right. You can't do anything right. I feel like I would have died so quick in World War II.
Dude, seriously.
Guys, none of that happens in the movie.
No.
First off, it's just Jojo's mom in the movie. None of his other family members.
Because he also lives with his grandparents. Mm-hmm. But they eventually died and his grandma was just left, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, it's in the house is Jojo, grandma, mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
in the book.
Yes. Sorry. In the book. Jojo is super excited now because now he's a youth Hitler group. And their first mission is they get to destroy a bunch of books that are not approved by the Hitler ruling. And he goes home at one point and he's shocked because he sees his mom hiding some books. She comes up with a lie, but Jojo doesn't really believe her. His dad has been doing extra work at his company, so he's been out for a while. And it's Jojo's birthday, and his mom invited friends over. But, of course, they're all his Hitler Youth friends. And he's kind of embarrassed because, like, she got him a cute little remote-control dog.
Toys.
Yeah.
For a child.
Because he's 12, mm-hmm. and he should have toys.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his friends is like, oh, remember, you have to be up early tomorrow because it's drill. And his dad's like, he's not going to drill because his feet got really messed up last time because he has bad feet. And so he got really beat up and hurt last time. And his troop leader's like, no, that's not acceptable. And it'll be best interest if he's there for both of you.
In the movie, the destroying the books does happen just a little bit later, not at the start. Yeah. I just realized. When his feet got messed up, that's when I wanted to start talking. It's okay. So part of what hurt his feet is he got sent away on a weekend camp. And like the drills are these weekend camps where they go and they have to essentially live out like they're in the war because they are training to then be soldiers once they're of the right age. But also at the same time, they're needing to send younger soldiers out because they don't have enough people in the army
because they're losing.
Mm-hmm. So big difference in the movie is that there is an imaginary Hitler, but he's comedy gold, so I'm okay with that. And then the movie starts here on Jojo's rough weekend, where it's in the book it's like spread out. This just seems to be one long like summer camp type thing. And so in the movie basically we get to actually see everything that happens, and in the book he just explains it briefly, but then also a bunch of things that happen in the book to him as Jojo grows older happens during this camp because Jojo doesn't age in the movie either.
So now Jojo's basically a soldier in the book. His parents don't want to interact with him. There was an air raid and Jojo was in the middle of it when he's off on one of his weekends. And he lost part of his arm and his whole face is messed up. And but him and his grandma became closer because they're both kind of encouraging each other because his grandma has trouble walking and his grandma has trouble eating. And so does Jojo now. But now they're like on the same pace and they're working and encouraging each other.
That's where the love story of a single parent comes in.
Where?
Because grandma and him kind of take care of each other.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. I can see it how you just said that.
Yeah.
I was like, this is where the story comes in the book. Mm-hmm. So in the movie, one of the funniest scenes is when JoJo's getting like picked on and Hitler talks him up and is like, you need to show him who's boss. So then he runs and grabs, what is it called? He grabs a grenade basically mm-hmm. to go and throw it. And he hits a tree and it bounces back at him.
He's like, oh, great. And he blows up.
That was hilarious. And so he blows up. And so he blows up here at this camp. And it doesn't get rid of his arm, but it does mess up his face. And it does not mess it up as bad as it does in the book. Mm-mm. But then that almost makes it funnier because the things that... Because he keeps saying that the artist, like, oh, he hates how basically he looks like a piece of art that Picasso would make. And he hates that because Hitler hates that and all this stuff. In the movie, Rebel Wilson kept calling him Picasso. I was like, yes, I love it, especially since his face is normal and he's just got like a little scar on his cheek. So he doesn't look bad.
Right.
It's a nod to the book.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So JoJo and his mom had a fight because there's an article about what Hitler was doing and he was killing kids and disabled people. And she's like, you realize that you technically are disabled now and he might come after you. And he's like completely shocked that this is happening, but he's trying to get defensive and all this. And life goes on and he's watching his mother and she's acting very strange. She is bringing food upstairs, but she comes down with no dishes. And his father brought home a puzzle and he's like, oh, he must have brought it home for me because I'm bored in the house because I can't do anything. But he didn't bring it to him. And then he couldn't find it anywhere. He tore apart his dad's whole study and couldn't find it. He's laying in bed one night, though, and he sees a panel in the wall and he opens it up and there's a Jewish girl hiding inside and he goes to kill her, but he can't.
So nothing happens with the disabled people bit. Because what child's gonna, or what mother's gonna tell her child who has a small little scar that he's disabled?
At this point in the book, mm-hmm. he's at least, I want to say 15, if not older.
He's a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
he's
been
older.
Several years now.
Mm-hmm. This book, time progresses so quick, this book. And if you don't pay attention, you miss it.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, what? And then you go back and you read and you're like, it's been 3 years.
Yes.
How?
Yep.
So that doesn't happen.
Because in the movie, he stays a kiddo for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And his father never comes home, so he doesn't bring home the puzzle. So he's not looking for the puzzle piece. But when he comes home one day, I think he hears a noise upstairs. And so then he goes to investigate. And lo and behold, there's a girl.
Oh, no, he sees it. Maybe he went, but he sees a scratch on the floor.
Yeah. And so he's like, oh, I can open this. And I actually really like, too, that in this scene, they made it like a horror movie. Like, so he goes into the panel, which, first off, when I read this, it's a small living space.
Yeah, it's like she can lay down.
Yeah.
That's about.
Not any. Yeah. Yeah.
She had a whole bed in there.
Yeah, I was
everything.
Like, damn, I would be fine hiding. Right. Why are you? So he crawls in and slowly... is going in further and further, and then he sees feet, and then he runs out, and then she comes out looking like the Grudge girl.
She did. Oh my gosh. Because that's the thing, is the whole movie was like, the Jewish people, they, you know, they live like bats, they sleep upside down, and it's like all these, like, you know, lies.
Imaginary
Hitler's
like, you can't let them use their mind control.
Yes. And so, like, she plays into it.
That's the best. I love this movie. I shouldn't say that.
Big difference is the book is not a comedy at all. Like, there's no humor.
No.
At all.
No. I could see there were certain bits of the book where I was like, okay, I can see where Taika got his inspiration from. Like, I see how he's making Hitler imaginary. Like, no, there's not an imaginary Hitler, but because of how much this character loves Hitler, it's almost like he is this third character there that's talking to him and being like, okay, you need to do this. So that's kind of how I could see it. But also, I just kept wanting hilarious Taika.
I know.
It's like, let me laugh. I know you read it before me and you were like, Brie, what?
You what? Lied. What is this about?
I'm like, oh no. It's one of these books.
So Jojo becomes obsessed with this girl who we learn's name is Ilsa, and he eventually goes back and talks to her. And she reveals that, hey, remember your sister who played violin with a friend? I was that friend. And she's talking about her fiance, and Jojo becomes very jealous. And we realize that, or he realizes they have to win the war. Otherwise, she's just going to go back to her fiance. So we need to win the war so she can stay my prisoner forever. And so he's starting to feel like kind of nauseous anytime he sees Hitler. So he's starting not to be Team Hitler anymore. Because he's found himself a little Jewish girl. And this is when we find out he's 17 now. So, I mean, 5 years have gone by since his birthday. That we just talked about.
That we just talked about. Yeah. So in the movie, after Jojo gets blown up, his mom stomps him to basically the camp leader's office, it seems like. Because now they can't work at the camp. So they have
got demoted.
Yeah, because of
the kid got blown up.
And she's like, you have to give him a job. So then Jojo gets a job that he actually gets way later on in the book, where he's going around passing out propaganda to people about Hitler. And so he started doing that around. And then when Jojo finds Ilsa? Ilsa? In the book, he's always thinking about, like, maybe I should tell, like, this is bad. We shouldn't have a Jewish girl in our house. This is horrible. But then he's like, but if I tell, my parents will get in trouble. Not only that, but probably my grandma, too. And probably me, because it is my house. So maybe I shouldn't tell. In the movie, she voices all this out to him because she's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to go and tell? Well, you can't do that because then this would happen and this would happen. So that's kind of what stops him. And then Jojo does find out about the fiance, but he's still a little kid right now. So he's like jealous, but also like not. Because he also is still very much like pro-Hitler. Because now he's decided that, because one of the leaders of the camp has said something about how if they had a book on Jews, everything would be easy. So then Jojo's like, I have a Jew in my wall. I've got this.
So he writes a book about them hanging from
sleeping, bats. Hanging upside down, using their mind control powers. I can't remember the title of it, but the title of it is hilarious too.
So one day they wake up and there's like graffiti on their house, and it's like this symbol or whatever, possibly calling them out for being traitors, or that there's traitors nearby, and everybody's like, or the family's like, oh my gosh, do they think it's us? So they paint over it really quickly. And Ilsa comes crying to Jojo about how dark it is all the time and how hungry she is. And his mom had stopped going in her room to feed her because she noticed Jojo watching her all the time. So she didn't want to get caught by Jojo. Jojo goes to kiss her one night and she's freaking out. And she's like, oh, please, I just need help. And she's calling her fiance's name, not from Jojo, just like in the moment. She's just like, everything is so bad. And that pissed off Jojo. And there's a bombing in their neighborhood. And he hoped that she died because she's hiding, or they're hiding in the bomb shelter and she's stuck in the wall. What a great guy.
He really is. Really is.
Goodness.
This doesn't happen in the movie, but what does happen is Ilsa tells Jojo about Nathan, her fiance, and then he's trying to get her to agree to write his book, but she doesn't want to help. So that's one of my favorites. scenes in the movie too. He goes and writes letters to her from Nathan.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
Especially the first one. You must help JoJo. By the way, we are over.
I don't understand that. Because then, okay, she goes and cries.
Mm-hmm.
Like she believed it.
No, because she knows that he's dead.
But how does she know he died? She doesn't know. She just assumes.
No, she's the one who tells him that Nathan is dead in the movie.
Oh, so in the movie she knows. So yeah, she doesn't
in
know.
The movie she knows. She doesn't in the book, know. In the she book. Doesn't
that's
know.
That's why. Okay, that's yep. where I got confused. Yep.
No. So to her, it's like punch in the gut. Like Nathan's not writing to me because he's get it now. Dead.
Yeah. I was like, why she believes this little boy? Because it ends with her or the letter being like, I'm ending it with you, blah, 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 or whatever. I break up with you. And then that's when she goes and cries. And I'm like, well, she deserves to cry if she believes this little 12-year-old.
And then 2 seconds later, he gets a new letter. I am so sorry. I take it back.
I do not want you to kill yourself. I will stay with you. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. That makes more sense.
It's because... Yeah, like, yeah. If you read the book first, that does not make sense. One of my notes in here is that she already knows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the
didn't catch that.
Book, he keeps that from her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Ilsa, however you say her name, feeds into the, you want to write a, I almost said journal. I guess it can be a journal. Go for it. A book.
Oh, gosh. All right. So. They leave their bomb shelter when the bombing stops and their house is okay, but a couple houses down that got hit. And the next day, a couple guys come and they check on their house and they say, hey, we saw a light in the window during the raid. And it turns out it was Ilsa and she had a flashlight because JoJo had given it to her when she cried about how dark it was. Well, one of the things that the Jewish people would do is use flashlights to say, hey, I'm in here. I need help. So they had to go check the whole house to see if that was what's going on. And JoJo's like, no, it was me, blah, blah, blah. And he comes up with this lie. But JoJo's still pissed. Like they end up leaving and going away. But JoJo's still pissed about that. She still wants her fiance. And now that they got in trouble for this thing. So he's doing all these childish things to Ilsa. Like he's putting hair in her food. And like, it's just. Like, are you 12? No, he's 17, we learned. And so his mom sends him off to go down to the lady whose house got bombed. And he comes home and Ilsa and his family are gone. A lady came over and he thought she seemed crazy because she left a charm and is like, tell your mother I'm leaving at 7 o'clock and I need to talk to her. He never told her. And his mom comes home and he asks where Ilsa is. And eventually she's like, she went to America. And he didn't believe her. So she let him know, okay, she's in the floorboards. And he assumed it's because she's dead because there's no way someone can fit in the floorboards.
It's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even believe people had to live like this.
You're fine.
This does not happen in the movie. There are bombings that happen, just not on JoJo's house.
Can you explain to me the crazy charm lady? Like, what was the point of her?
She's a Jewish person.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, she was part of the rebel thing. And so I think because his parents were involved, obviously, in all the stuff that they weren't supposed to be involved in. And so I think she was trying to help transport people or something. She was doing something that she wasn't supposed to be doing. And she was leaving a note to be like, hey, we need your help at this point or at this. So, yeah.
I didn't get that.
I should say at this point in the movie, now that JoJo's going around passing his propaganda, he's doing this and he sees his mom come out of a door and he's like, that's strange. That's not where she works. And then he goes and sees because she like dropped something on a park bench. And so he walks over and picks it up and it is rebel flyer stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so his mom's like, you're not allowed to talk to Ilsa. Like, leave her alone.
I did also want to say, I liked in the movie how you see his mom talking to Ilsa and like making sure that she gets human interaction. In the book, it was very much like he would see her go up the stairs and come back down. And it seemed very quick, like she was just getting food and stuff. But this, it was like, it's Taika's love letter to his mom. It's the, you're being a human and you're caring for this person, knowing that there's someone who shouldn't, quotation marks, be cared for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going out of your way to ensure that they're comfortable before you leave them.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. Mm-hmm. So Gran had to go to the hospital and he came home. She came home saying how many injured people there are in the hospital because they're not doing great in the war. And Jojo finally found Ilsa and was able to talk to her. And he leans over her and just simply laying on her makes him climax. Like, what the hell?
Poor kid.
She's getting all excited because she hears that America has joined the war. And so she's like, that means that Germany's going to lose. And he's like, no, that's false hope. Mm-hmm. And Jojo's dad was taken from work for questioning and he hasn't returned yet. His mom is very angry with Ilsa because she... That's why she was put down in the floorboards, part of the reason, because she thinks that like Ilsa was trying to call for help, and she's angry with Jojo as well. And it's just a whole thing. Eventually, Jojo wanders around and he saw his mom was hanged as a traitor. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's my story.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm listening to this bit in when I have my kids at the Children's Museum. Okay.
Oh, no.
I'm just wandering around. So, you know, there's a lot going on. And or maybe this was when I was driving there and it took me a different way. So I was like listening, but also trying to pay attention to driving. Mm-hmm. And so I hear because it describes it as like his mom was hanging there and she was like dancing in the wind with with a guy next to her. Mm-hmm. So I hear dancing and a guy next to her. And I'm like, oh, his mama stepped out on him. Not on him, but on his dad. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then the next part starts talking about
him having to care for his grandmother,
his grandma and Ilsa. And I'm like, oh, she full on didn't come home. She just like dipped and left these people. And then finally I was like, something's not making sense here. Oh, no. And then I went back and listened. I was like, oh no. I thought that was the funniest thing. I was like, well, that's a completely different
story. You're like, yes. I need that story. You're like, where? Give me the mom. Where is she? What's going on? That's hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
When I first watched the movie, I noticed that they were... Did you notice how many scenes they have before this one of Scarlett Johansson's feet? And I was like, damn, they're hitting on those shoes. And I do not understand why. So then, when I saw this part and he like stands up and her shoes are right next to him, I was like, those look like his mom's shoes. And it took me until he turns and looks and starts like crying for me to go, that's his mom.
Because they never show Scarlett Johansson.
No, they only show her shoes.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Mm-hmm. Probably to kind of gut punch, maybe.
You don't think it'd be more of a gut punch to see her face? Because they, like, I could see it being like, they just don't want to show someone hanging there. But they showed him earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They showed a bunch of people, like, just hanging there earlier.
I think it's because they wanted the close-up of the kid reacting to it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Scarlett Johansson also was like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. You don't need a fake me. Right. Also, so we still have, oh no, oh yeah, we still have quite a little bit of the book left, whereas in the movie this happens towards the end. So when this happened quick, I was like, hold on, like, especially since the movie basically is ramping up to this, and this is like the start of the end of the movie. In the book, that is not the case.
It's about the halfway point.
Yeah. In the book, when we got there, I was like, oh no, I don't know what's gonna happen. I was like, we've gone off the rails.
We've gone off script.
Yes, we have. But I will say, So the Gestapo comes because his mom was hanged and they're like, she's a rebel, so we have to come search her house. And so they come and search his house. But one of the camp leaders comes to return Jojo's bike and is there while the Gestapo searches the house. And for some reason, the Gestapo sees that he doesn't have his knife on his uniform and is like, where's your knife? And there was a really hilarious... I love this scene. How did I not talk about it until now? At the start of the movie, when he first sees Ilsa, and he's going after her. He has all of his knives and she keeps getting the knives. He's like, you cannot... Or fake Hitler. He's like, you can't keep letting her get all your knives, man.
He's like, I know. And then Scarlett Johansson comes home and she's like, where are all the knives?
It's so clever.
Oh, it's funny.
So they notice that his knife is not on his uniform. And they're like, where's your knife? And then here comes Ilsa coming out to be like, oh, his knife is right here. And they're like, oh, who are you? And she pretends to be his sister. Mm-hmm. And like finds, because they ask for her papers. And so she finds her papers and gives it to the camp leader. And the camp leader asks questions that only the sister would know. And so she has to basically lie because she can't remember. And then he clears it. And so you kind of see that camp leader guy is not so bad after all.
Yeah, because one of the questions was like, when is your birthday? And he's looking at it. She's like, May 1st. And then we find out, she's like, after everybody leaves and everything, she was looking at the papers and the birthday was May 7th. So, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so he covered up for her. But my question is, aren't these soldiers trained to recognize Jewish people?
Mm-hmm. I again think this is Taika's... Fuck you to
like you guys.
The whole system. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, she legit is the epitome. Like she has her dark brown hair, dark blue yeah. or dark brown yeah. eyes. And it's like literally everything that you guys are looking for
right here.
And you guys are like, mm-hmm. oh yes, you are a little mm-hmm. German child.
Yeah. I think it was. I also think it was cause like I love I think his name is Sam Rockwell.
Yes.
Okay. I love Sam Rockwell.
My gosh, me too.
He is one of my favorite actors. And so him being in this role was hard for me up until this point because I was like, you're hilarious and you're playing him hilariously. So I'll give you that. But you're playing a bad guy. So I really can't. And then this scene, I went, ah, you are the bad guy who's smart enough to be bad, but you're on the right side.
Mm-hmm. I feel so sad for him. Yeah, a little bit. So Jojo is now trying to get used to being the leader of the house. He's helping Ilsa while he's taking care of his grandmother, but like also keeping them separate because grandma doesn't know about Ilsa. And he comes home one day and he finds out that the war was over and they lost. But he decided, you know what? No, I'm going to tell Ilsa that we won because then she has to stay with me.
Yeah. Guys, this is where the movie ends, essentially, because now Jojo actually, when his mom dies in the movie, Jojo starts to feel guilty for being the enemy. And you can kind of see that at first when he goes to, I keep saying Elsa, whatever.
That's okay. They'll figure it out.
Exactly. When he first goes to Ilsa, once the war is won, she asks, or war is lost for, I'm on the side of the winners.
Yes.
he does lie to her at first, but then he realizes, he's like, I can't keep you here. I have to let you free. And so because Ilsa is now all that he has. And so she's like, what are we going to do? And he's like, we're going to go on an adventure, because that's what his mom would always say to him as they were leaving the house. And so they get all dressed up and ready. And then it's really sweet because at the start of the movie, when Jojo and his mom are leaving, she bends down and ties his shoes and is like, we need to teach you how to tie your shoes. And then as they're about to leave, Elsa's shoe is untied and he bends down to tie her shoe for her. And it just, oh, the feels get me. And then he opens the door for her and is like, let's go. And then she goes outside and she realizes, oh, I'm free. The war was lost. I have won. And that's the end.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even talk about how Sam Rockwell died for to save them.
I know. I just realized. I was like, I didn't talk about the bombing at all.
No.
So right before that, basically all hell broke loose and all the bombings happened. And I can't remember how Sam died. So take it away.
Oh, because like they were all caught, right? The Americans were there and mm-hmm. holding them hostage and everything. But he was like,
oh, yeah,
you got to get out of here and go protect your sister. Wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
And so he stripped him of his JoJo's Nazi uniform and was like, get away from me, Jew. And just like making a big deal about it. So the Americans pull him off. And JoJo's like, no, no, leave him alone. Like, come on, JoJo. He's like, really?
He's helping you. Yes. If you say that, you're going to get killed.
And so then off camera, we hear gunshots. And he died.
Yeah.
But he was saving
JoJo.
JoJo.
And Elsa.
All right. Well, we got a lot more book to go.
Yes, we do. I'm done.
All right. Well, you guys. So the movie's done because this little JoJo is 12 throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Here we go, because now he is not.
Yeah, now he's like 20, 30.
He's probably like in his 20s, yes.
Yeah.
So life is different now, because by the time he tells Elsa, I think it was like 4 years later. So he's probably 20.
Oh, I was just going to say, they were about 19 in school.
Okay, right there. They're about 19. Okay. So life is different now because all these other countries are taking over Germany. And JoJo decided he needed to tell Elsa the truth before his dad returned. So he's trying to kind of work up the muster to tell her the truth. But his grandma guessed that he's crushing on someone. And she's like, you just need to tell her. It was kind of cute because she has no idea that it's a little Jewish girl in mm-hmm. their house.
Yeah, hidden away.
Yep. Well, it turns out his dad has died for being a traitor. And so JoJo was brought to this train station by all these Americans, and he was shown a bunch of dead bodies thanks to Hitler. So it was like a bunch of the victims from the gassings and all that sort of stuff. And mm-hmm. he's like, it's like burned in his brain.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Yep. So then they have to go back to school because all the new leaders are like, yeah, you didn't learn anything because you learned a bunch of lies. And so they're 19 and they're in school with 11-year-olds. That would suck. And Elsa asks him, hey, can you please get me a paper so I can know what's going on? And he's like, yes. So it's not suspicious, but he keeps trying to put it off. And one day he gets home and his grandma's talking to two Polish men. And they had a form saying that they get to live with them because of the government. JoJo's freaking out because he's like, oh, my gosh, now there's more people and Elsa's going to be found. Well, Elsa gets home and his grandma had fallen down the stairs. She's
you
like,
mean JoJo gets home?
Yes, thank you. And she's like, I heard noises upstairs. And he's like, no, it's okay, blah 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 blah, it's like the rats or whatever. And he goes upstairs and Elsa's like, I'm so sorry, I think she heard me. And eventually she kisses him and JoJo is so happy. And the next day she's like, can you please let me go, I don't want you to be put through this. And now he's pissed off at her.
He's like, I thought you loved me.
JoJo decided to figure out if Elsa's family was still alive. And it turns out most of them died before JoJo even knew about Elsa. And he wanted to buy her a necklace to show he cared about her because she's not eating and she's trying to kill herself. And he gets home and the police are there. And it turns out these Polish guys were actually Russians trying not to go back home.
So really, they're just helping everyone.
Yes.
I wish the Polish guys were in the movie because I think they could have been hilarious.
I agree. JoJo went out and got so many things for Elsa. Like she wanted like to see special snow. She wanted to touch a horse, so he went and touched a horse, and she's like living through her. Eventually, they're kind of treating each other like boyfriend and girlfriend. They're dancing together, and she's painting, and he's watching her and all this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Grandma dies, and JoJo... Oh, she passed out. She hasn't died yet. She's about to die. JoJo woke up and told her the truth. Elsa's here. She's real. She didn't believe him. And now she dies. And Elsa almost died too. And eventually he's like, I got to tell you the truth. But she keeps interrupting, and then they start kissing.
So here's the problem too with this. She keeps interrupting him, and I think it's because she knows the truth, but because this has been her life, she doesn't totally want to escape it, because she's like, what would I do if I left?
Yeah.
And so this is when it becomes
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. It's so weird. It's compared weird. To the movie, I'm like,
yes. So they say they love each other. And now, since Grandma's dead, they have no reason to have Elsa be locked up. So she gets to be in the house. But Jojo's freaking out because he's like, oh my gosh, she's going to leave. But they're cooking together and they're doing all these couple-y things.
But he's also making her like crawl on all fours so she's not seen. And
yeah.
All this stuff.
Jojo comes home one day and Elsa's painting, which she hasn't painted since she was locked up, because that was her way of like releasing feelings and stuff. So he's mad at her because he's like, you aren't happy here. And she tries to escape. He stops her and he looks at the painting. And it's both of them holding hands, but they're locked together with handcuffs. And then they end up having a huge fight, as they should.
Mm-hmm. Which is honestly, like, her painting is way deep if you think about it. Like, she's locked up to him because of her situation, but he's also locked up to her because of his feelings for her.
Right. So no one's hiring Jojo because, you know, he has no arm, half an arm. And so he has to
that was a weird thing, too, because it kept saying half an arm. But then he would be like, but I'm going to use my arm for this. And I was like,
I think it was at the elbow.
Oh, that makes more sense.
So he had the top half.
Okay. Because a lot of it was like holding stuff and things. And I was like, how are you doing this without an arm?
Yes. So Jojo decided he's going to sell the house so that he could stay home with Elsa forever. What? She said, let me go. That'll show true love, because you have to let someone go when you love them. And I will sacrifice myself and all the possibilities of danger. And he's like, shut up. No. If you love someone, you stay with them forever. And then he got her a pet bird to help her calm down. And she's pissed because it's in a cage. And she's like, makes him let him. Set it free. And then he goes and finds a dead bird and is like, look what you did. The bird died because you let it free.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Like, what? That was freaking insane.
I know. Like,
they eventually move and he packs her up in a suitcase and they decide that they can't afford a house. So they're living in an apartment, which is risky because there's so many people around.
But my favorite part is when she's in the suitcase, she keeps meowing to let him know that she's alive. But he pisses him off because he's like, they can hear you.
So they did settle an apartment. They're in a very toxic relationship. Like, they're not intimate with each other. And when they are, it's like not good. I'm mm-hmm. not going to go into detail.
Yeah.
Go read the book. They did get a cat together, though. But they couldn't agree on how to take care of it. So they're starting to fight with the cat now, too. And all of a sudden, one day, there's water everywhere. And Jojo went downstairs in, like, the common area to meet with all the neighbors. And then they ran up to his house because it's like, it's your house that's leaking. And Elsa's just sitting there naked on a chair for all of them to see.
Oh, we should have trigger warning. So
she's naked?
No. The reason there's water everywhere is because she has now tried to drown herself in the tub.
Oh, okay. He told everyone, oh, it's such a disgrace being married to her, blah, blah, blah. She's not impressed. So she gets up and changes, and she's super depressed now.
And this was such a, switch for her that was kind of weird for me. I was like, what is going on with you? You were just happy about this cat.
I know.
Why are you now trying to do this with the tub? And now, what?
Well, Jojo's depressed. He's walking all around and he notices a circle around the entrance of his house or his apartment. And he's like, oh my gosh, Elsa jumped. But no, it was the cat died.
Oh, it was so sad. There was a little kid that was crying about the cat. And I was like, I feel you. I was like, if it were Elsa, I would have been like, good, she's free. He can be free. There we go. Then it was the cat. And I was like, oh, why? How did the cat even get through the sunroof?
Well, Elsa is super depressed.
Through the sunroof, through the skylight. They have a car now. Sorry.
You're fine. She's super depressed now, and Jojo got a job at a bakery that he absolutely hated. They still have a super toxic relationship. And But other times it's like a really fun and great relationship. It's just weird. Mm-hmm. Joe just decided to come clean and he showed her the paper and that showed that the war had ended 4 years ago. Then one day Jojo comes home. No, he wants to actually go off and he's like, okay, we're going to go and go to a different country and start brand new lives. And he tried to figure out where they could go, but they couldn't go anywhere because Ilsa didn't have papers. And he goes home disappointed. But Ilsa had disappeared to who knows where. Mm-hmm. He's freaking out. He can't find her. He's questioning everybody and no one knows where she is. And he's about to give up when and start applying for jobs. But then he's like, you know what? If I put all my time and effort into this, I will find her one day. That's how it freaking ended. Mm-hmm. What the hell? Yeah.
Yep. The ending is just so weird. Like everything up until that, the ending and the relationship with that, I think maybe I would have been like, because the book had me, it's so hard. I don't want to say that I didn't enjoy the book. Wow, I'm skipping everything. I'm just going back to our question earlier. Because I read the book quicker than I anticipated after you explained to me what it was. Then it got to the weird, like, keeping her as hostage, and then she started falling in love with him, kind of, and I was like, this bit's weird. Mm-hmm. I don't get this bit, but I could handle the other stuff.
I think going back, I don't think I would flat out be like, you guys should watch this movie, it's fantastic. But if someone was like, oh, flipping through channels and sees it, I'll be like, yeah, I watched it, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I stand.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So IMDb cast 36 people.
That's actually really small.
I know. That's what I thought, too.
That's crazy.
Uh-huh. So we have Roman Griffin Davis as Jojo.
I really wish it was my cousin. I'll recast my cousin.
Oh, my gosh. I thought he did very good.
He's a cute Jojo.
He was cute.
Mm-hmm.
Thomason?
I think so.
McKenzie? Played Ilsa.
Yeah, she's good.
She did very good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She's who I thought was Via.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlett Johansson played Mom.
Oh, she did so good.
Yeah, I agree. And Taika Waititi. Taika.
Waititi. You got the last part.
Taika. Oh, my gosh. It's too late. You guys, it's like midnight right now.
We're almost done. We're so close. He's the star of this show, man.
He played Hitler. I didn't say what he did.
I know. he is why I would watch this movie over and over and over again.
Yeah, he's super funny in every movie he's in.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, he did really good.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Rockwell played the captain guy.
Yep.
Klensendorf.
Yeah. I loved him.
Me too.
So good.
I do love him in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he in that new movie that...
Argyle.
Is it the writing? She's the author?
Yeah, that one's really good.
Did you see it?
Mm-hmm. Me and John went and saw it. He's in so much. And everything he's in, I always like him.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Rebel Wilson. As some lady that is not in the book.
No, she's one of the captain's like right hand people, and I love her. She's
funny.
She's hilarious. Alfie, we gotta talk about him.
Okay.
I know he's barely in it, but
I don't know who that is.
Oh, I'll tell you. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
He's Theon.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite guy.
Mm-hmm.
He played a Nazi.
Alfie Allen plays Finkel, who's legit a gay Nazi. Wait, did I say that right? Gay Nazi.
There you go.
So actually, I think what drew me to this movie, apart from everything that I already said, was I knew Alfie was in it because he had started posting about it, because he plays Theon Greyjoy, for those of you who don't know, and Game of Thrones, who is my favorite character on Game of Thrones, surprisingly, because he's biggest dick.
Mm-hmm.
But his character story arc breaks my heart, so that's why Theon's my favorite. And so I was really sad with how his story ended in Game of Thrones. Like, I was in tears for weeks after his story. And then I found out that this is coming out and I was like, oh, I hope he starts doing more movies. I have not seen him in anything since. But
me neither. And then Stephen Merchant played Dirts. Dirts.
I would say Dirts, but I like Dirts. Did you put him in just because of my videos?
I have not watched the videos yet.
Oh, good.
I just love him. That's why I put him in.
He plays, now I'm going to forget his name. If you watch our TikTok or our YouTube, I don't know where it'll go.
Tell me, because I'm like I IMDb'd him because I'm like, I know him. I know him from multiple things, but what did I know him so well from?
Well, I doubt you know him well from this. Oh. He plays a character in Portal.
Oh, no.
The video game. Yeah, he's in Portal 2. I think it's like Wheatley, I think. No, he's in so much, Allie.
He is. But there's one specific role that I'm like, what is it?
But he's in Portal 2. And so anytime I hear his voice, like, I didn't even realize it, I don't think, when I first saw the movie. But this time when I was watching it, I was eating lunch and I was like looking at my bite that I was about to take. And he came on the screen and started talking. And I like stopped mid bite and was like, Portal? And I looked up. Like, it took me a minute because I was like, I don't know if you're the guy. And I had to IMDb it. And I was right.
It might be Modern Family. Oh, yeah, it is Modern Family. If I'm remembering right. Yes, it is. Yes. There is an episode where they're, I don't remember where they are, Florida or Hawaii or something. And they're like in this resort. And he is like the, not butler, but like the guy.
Concierge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like there for them every single second. And like he pops up everywhere. He just played that role so perfectly that.
Okay, he's amazing. Yes. I love him.
He's good.
Yeah, he was good. He was the Gestapo who didn't realize that he was looking right at a Jewish girl.
Yes. Yep. All right. Is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
For the most part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
World War II, Hitler, Jewish girl.
Yeah.
Do the characters stay true? No.
No. No. I don't dislike JoJo in the movie.
You dislike him in the book?
It's so hard to say. Like, when he's being weirdo, I dislike him. But not enough to where, like, there's moments when I'm like, you're not a horrible person. You're just kind of like, I think if his parents hadn't hidden her in the first place, the whole love story with Elsa or Ilsa wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like he was put in a bad situation that then also kind of made him probably feel like he had power over this girl, which probably also made him like her in a way. Yeah. So I guess he's not totally dislikable in the book, but
yeah,
I prefer movie JoJo.
I didn't like anyone in the book.
Yeah.
I didn't like any of the characters.
Dude, Elsa actually made me upset.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. I liked Grandma.
Yeah, Grandma's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grandma.
That's about it. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't even in the movie.
No.
Like you said, the movie characters, I didn't dislike any of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the movie characters were all great.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you prefer?
I haven't spoiled it enough.
Neither have I.
I prefer the movie.
Same.
Yeah.
We kind of like made that question a lot harder for us to keep secret when we added the would you recommend it to a friend at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. We should probably bring it
to the end.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you like the movie more?
Because it's hilarious as fuck.
Yeah, I prefer comedies over boring dramas anytime.
I will say there were things, because kind of like you said when we had talked about it, you don't get stories from a Nazi perspective. Mm-hmm. So there were things in the book that I either never learned or I never thought of. So that part was interesting to me. And I was like, oh, that's something I've never heard or thought of.
Mm-hmm.
So Why am I saying this here? I don't know. I'm like trying to defend the book.
Oh, because I called it boring.
Oh, that's what. Yeah. Nope. I don't know where the rest of my thought was going. All right, guys. Sneak peek.
First, we're going to ask you to do us a solid.
Give us a nice rating.
Yep. Subscribe.
It's maybe midnight. You just yawned. Sorry.
Midnight. It's midnight.
What time is it where you are? Tell us.
Oh, I thought you were asking me.
Oh. You know how you can do that? Just go write us a review.
And tell us. All you have to do is say it is 2 o'clock in the morning.
Just put 2 a.m. and then 5 stars. That's yes, it.
That's all we need.
And we will shout you out on our episode. We'll be like, so-and-so said it was 2 a.m. They listened to us at 2 in the morning.
We probably helped put you back to sleep.
Yep.
Ooh, Wednesday, we have a fun episode for you.
Ooh, yes. We just recorded this one, actually.
Yes, it was a very fun episode.
It is our Divergent bonus episode.
Yes.
We talked all things Divergent. It's an episode all over the place, but it's a cool one.
It really is.
And that one will have a really fun YouTube video attached to that one as well.
Yeah, so be sure to keep your eyes open for that this week.
Yep. And then on Monday, we are switching things up a little bit because originally we were going to do the host, y'all. Going to Florida made it so I could not read a 23-hour book in 1 week. I am so sorry. I have not that skill set. So we're going to do whatever it's called.
Lyle Crocodile.
Yeah. With little Miss Riley. And we'll do the host at the end of the season. That's how we're going to end our season.
Flip
with
that around.
Big one. So I hope that's okay. If you were reading along with us and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to finish it in time. Now you have a chance. But now if you want to read along with us, Lyle is like a 48-page kid book.
That's very true.
And go watch the movie and then come and interact with
compare
us.
Compare the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all we want. Yeah. On Spotify, I even ask what you thought of the episode and which did you prefer?
Yeah. How are you going to answer what you preferred if you don't do this with us?
Yeah. Or listen to our episodes.
You can't be honest.
Yeah.
So, I guess they could just listen to the episode.
Yeah.
It's not the same, y'all. You got to go watch and read. Come on. If we have to, you have to.
We gave ourselves homework. It's your turn.
Exactly. Oh, man. But anyways. Okay, you guys. With that, Caging Skies or Jojo Rabbit
went off script.
Bye. Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madam Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze
for Book Tales.